Last week I said February is what I'm calling mission month. We have set an ambitious goal to hit 150 people at one church. That's spread across our two locations. So 100 here, 50 in Redverse. And so we're taking February to kind of tell you how we're going to meet that goal. And by extension, reveal the mission of one church moving forward. By way of introduction, last week we talked about going into the world. This morning we're talking about making disciples. And I have a short video with me and my daughters to kick things off.
Good morning, One Church. Welcome to Baking with Pastor Matt. And today I have my little helpers with me.
Hi.
I'm going to teach them how to make bread today. Okay, so girls, we have the bread machine. So since I have the bread machine, can I just hit the button and it's going to make bread for me?
No.
Why not?
Because there's not stuff in it.
You need to put stuff in it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, what kind of stuff?
Like flour, sugar, yeast, and oil, and water.
Well, sugar. I have lots of sugar. I like sugar. Can I just dump a whole bunch of sugar in there?
No.
I can't. But I like sugar.
You have to mix all this stuff together
but
first.
But how much do I use? How do I know how much to use?
You just read the instructions.
I have to follow the recipes.
Yes.
Okay, so I need water. I like water. Salt. I like salt. I need sugar. I really like sugar. Oil. I don't like oil. Can I not put oil in?
No. Yes. No. You have to put in the oil.
Why do I need to put oil in?
So they all stick together.
So even if I don't like something, I still have to put it in?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And I need flour and I need yeast. Well, wouldn't you know it, beforehand, me and the girls measured out everything. Okay, so now I have all the ingredients. Now can I just hit the button and go?
No!
Why? What do I have to do?
You have to mix them together.
Oh, I have to put the stuff in the bread maker to make it work?
Yes!
Oh, okay. Well, here, let's move the microphone. Don't do that. Okay, so now we're gonna put the water and everything in first.
Oops.
That's okay. Okay, so put that all in.
Can I put the flour in?
No,
I'll
put the yeast in. Okay, so that's all in. And then we're gonna put the flour in. And last but not least, we'll put the yeast in. Okay.
Sorry, that was...
You guys can help me with this part, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so Dad's gonna put the big one in.
I'll put the medium one in.
I'll put the yellow one in, I guess.
Okay, so one.
Two. Three.
Oh, you missed.
Oops.
Okay. That's okay. Okay. Okay, so now we have everything in the bread maker.
Mm-hmm.
So now we just close it and hit the button, right?
No. Yes.
Well, why isn't it working?
Because you didn't plug it in.
I need to plug it in. There's so many steps. What is going on?
You have to follow the recipe. If you don't follow it properly, then it won't work.
Won't work.
Oh, there we go. That sounds good. Okay, so now we have power. We have it set to the right thing. Now can I hit the button?
Yes.
Okay, so we're hit the button. Okay, so now it's going. Okay, we'll wait a couple. Okay, that's long enough, right?
No.
I can't take it out.
No, you have to wait until the timer is done.
Well, how long do I have to wait?
13 minutes.
That text says 3 hours.
3 hours, I mean.
But I don't want to wait 3 hours. I want it now.
You have to. The instructions say so.
The instructions say so. Hey, so I have to wait till it's all cooked before
yes.
I can eat it, hey? Okay. Did you guys learn anything today?
Yes.
Thanks for helping. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to me at the service. Okay.
Bye.
Alrighty. Who is teaching who there? That's the real question as we watch that. So I use that by way of introduction, and I have the bread maker. There's no fresh bread. And I know that's heartbreaking. Redverse said the same thing. They were so disappointed. If you know anything about my family, fresh bread didn't last the day. Like, that loaf was gone. But it still serves the purpose. Because this morning we're talking about making disciples. And I think often what happens when we talk about making disciples is we get nervous because we don't know the process. Right? If I just gave you the bread machine and said, make bread, and I didn't give you the recipe, I didn't tell you how, you probably get nervous, right? And I think what happens often in life and in faith is we get the bread machine, we get the instructions to go make disciples, and we hit the button and hope it just starts making bread. And in this scenario, when it comes to making disciples, we just pray, right? The pastor told me to pray for somebody. I prayed once. I did my part. I've hit the button, and now it's just going to take care of it. But that's not actually how it works. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to dive through Scripture, and I want to suggest that there is a process. It's not as intimidating as it may seem. And my hope is as I walk through the steps with you, it takes some of the nervousness out and you feel empowered to go do what Jesus told us to do last week, which was to go and make disciples. So number one, we need the full recipe, aka we need the Word of God. We can't just pick and choose the parts. We can't skip steps. We need to be in God's Word and the entirety of it because it's builds off each other. It builds off itself. We need the Word. 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts. And so when it comes to making disciples, it all has to start here. And we saw that when we went through 1 Corinthians, right? Paul didn't rely on fancy arguments. He didn't come out with the latest thought of the day. He went right back to Jesus crucified. He came right back to the Word. And this morning I want to remind us that it's not just the words as they are written. Matthew 4 says this, but Jesus told him, no, the Scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it's not just the written word as revealed, inspired by the prophets and the apostles, but God continues to speak today. He continues to illuminate today. And so we need to be seeking a fresh word, a fresh instruction. Allow Him to guide us as we go and as we share. We need the Word. So we need the recipe. And like I said, not just the parts that we're comfortable with, not just the parts that, and not necessarily our revelation. The one thing that we did the Hearing God seminar last weekend, and the Pastor Ray pointed out that if knowledge and study was all we needed, then how come the biblical scholars of Jesus' day weren't there when Jesus was born? If knowledge and scholarship was all we needed, then how come the scholars missed it? And it's because this requires more than just study. We need to study. We need to be memorizing. We need to be getting into it. But we also need the Spirit of God who inspired it to be revealing the truth behind it. Because this word is living and active. It is still moving. So when it comes to making disciples, we need to be coming back to the Word and getting the new, fresh instruction as God reveals it to us. But the reminder that God never contradicts himself. He will never say something that's contrary to Scripture. So we need to know it so that when we feel like God's speaking to us, we know whether or not it lines up. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So step number one in making disciples, you need the recipe. You need to be in God's Word. Number two, you need the right ingredients. And I'm going to suggest that the ingredients by divine inspiration are the fruit of the Spirit, right? Food, you see that connection? Okay, anyways, I felt the, thanks for the sympathy laugh. Okay, Galatians 5, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. In chapter 13, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't have love, if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And I want you to hear what I'm saying this morning. God has already given you all the ingredients. Right? When you become a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes within you and he fills you and he starts to produce this fruit, but like a fruit tree. A fruit tree doesn't enjoy its own fruit, right? It produces the fruit. It has seed in the fruit to create more trees. But more importantly, God created those trees so that you and I could enjoy the fruit, aka it's not for the tree, it's for others. And the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is the same way. God doesn't produce love in you simply so that you can feel loved. God produces love in you so you can love others. He produces joy in you so you can share joy with others. And I go down the list. Every single one is not meant just with others. And what happens is, I think we get into making the disciples, and we don't like some of those ingredients. And so we make substitutions. And so we substitute kindness for sarcasm. We substitute goodness for greed. We substitute the ones that we like, we overemphasize. Oh, I like love. So I'm just going to pour the whole bag of love into it. I really like joy. So I'm going to hyper-emphasize joy. That person who's pushing my buttons at work or in my family right now, I don't want to exercise self-control. I want to let them have it. So we make a substitution. And then we wonder why, if disciples are made, they don't last. It's because, like the bread, right? If I made it without the oil, it wouldn't turn out very good. If I put too much sugar in the recipe, it wouldn't turn out too good, right? All my bakers, I'm looking for some affirmation here. I haven't said anything wrong yet, right? Right? If we don't follow the recipe, and we don't use all the ingredients, something's going to go wrong. Despite the fact that I'm sure I could have talked the girls into substituting oil for just about anything else, the bread wouldn't have turned out. And we probably could have shared because they wouldn't have wanted to eat it. But neither would you. So that defeats the purpose. So God's given us the recipe. You don't have to go find it. God's giving you the ingredients through his Holy Spirit in you, producing it in you. And here's the step that I think we all get nervous about. Because having the recipe and having the ingredients isn't enough. You actually have to put it all together. And this is the part where we actually have to step out of our comfort zone and many times and share. Talk to somebody about it. I quoted Romans 10 last week, right? How will they know? How will they believe in the one they don't know? And how will they know the one unless someone tells them? 1 Peter 3, instead you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, when do you need to be ready to explain it? Always. Not when you prayed up, not when you had a really good Sunday service, not when you had your worship time. Always. Mark 5, the prelude of this story, I'm going to take that off the screen so you're not distracted. Mark 5, Jesus has an encounter with what is called the demoniac. It's a man who is so possessed by demons that chains can't contain him. He cuts himself. He hurts himself. They've outcast him. Jesus meets him, casts the demons out of him, and the man is so overwhelmed with joy, he wants to follow him. And this is what Jesus tells him instead. He says, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. Jesus said, go. We talked about that last week. Go and what? Go and tell. Go and tell the good things Jesus has done. Go and tell how amazing your God is. Go and tell. There is a sharing part. In John, Jesus has an encounter with a woman at the well. They're outside a Samaritan village, and she is so overwhelmed by the experience of meeting with Jesus that she runs into town and tells everyone. And John 4 says this, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. She went and she wrote it in her journal. No, she went and she shared. She went and she told people about what God had done in her life. And of course, Acts 1, I quoted last week, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There is this onus from Jesus that we are to go and tell. How good is a witness in court if they don't say anything? If they don't talk about what they saw? If they don't talk about their expertise? A witness is no good unless they speak. And so there is an expectation of us as disciples to go and to speak and to share what God has done and is continuing to do. But I want you to see, I love the Acts 1:8 because this is the part we all get nervous about, and I want you to remind you that you don't do it alone. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will have power to be my witnesses. You don't have to manufacture anything. God's already given it all to you. You just need to go. But even in knowing that, there still tends to be a nervousness. So that's where the machine comes in. This morning I want to suggest to you that the machine is prayer. And this is what I mean by that. Here's what Paul in Ephesians 6. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask that God would give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan to the good that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Paul then writes to the Thessalonians. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. He writes to the Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. And then in Acts 4, we read the disciples are gathered together and they're praying. And they say, oh Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness, preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And what I want you to see, whether it was the apostles or it was Paul himself, can I ask, do you think Paul had a reason to be afraid about telling people about Jesus? The man was threatened daily. Like, he was constantly under attack. He had been killed on one occasion by people throwing rocks. When you read in scripture that someone got stoned, it's not that. They threw big rocks at them until they stopped breathing. That's what they meant. He'd been whipped multiple times. And so Paul reaches out to the churches. He says, pray for me. Pray that I would be bold. Mr. Super Apostle plants more churches than we can count, was afraid and recognized his need for spiritual boldness. So if you are afraid of the idea of sharing, you're in good company. So what do? You pray. You go to God and say, God, I need boldness to do what you've called me to do. But not only that, you also need to pray for the person that you are discipling. And I want you to know, some of you have been praying for someone for a very, very, very long time. And some of you are thinking about throwing in the towel. It's hopeless. It's not a 13-minute process. It's a 3-hour process. But I don't see anything changing. Farmers, gardeners, when you plant seed in the ground, does it pop up the next day to let you know that it's coming? No, you gotta wait. And in the waiting, it's like, I hope it comes. And I hope there's lots of it when it does come. Right? But there's an uncertainty. And I think that's why Scripture so often uses the picture of plants when it talks about making disciples. Because you gotta wait. Jesus uses it as a parable, and the one seed that did pop up too fast said it didn't last because it had no root. There is value in it taking time because the roots get down and we get a disciple who lasts. So I'm telling you, keep on. Keep on praying. Keep on. And you know, it's not just prayer, right? You don't share the fruit, get in the word, share once, and then hope that it's, if you've ever made bread, every once in a while you need to open the lid and add more stuff, right? Sometimes the dough is dry, you got to add a little bit more water. Sometimes you want to add something special, and so you got to add it in, you got to keep adding to it while you are praying. But ultimately, you entrust the process to God Almighty to do what only He can do. This is why Paul tells the Thessalonians, never stop praying. Never stop praying for opportunities. Never stop praying for boldness. Never stop praying for the individual that God has placed on your heart to see them become a disciple. Because there's no such thing as an unbeliever. There's just people who just don't know they're sons of God yet, or daughters yet. There's no unbeliever. It's just they don't know they're believers yet, and that's our job to let them know. Surprise! So we take the recipe, put the ingredients together, we pray, but all the while, you can get all those steps right, but if you never get plugged in, you're going to be disappointed with the results. And that's the last step. You got to make sure you're plugged in. This is what Jesus was saying in John 15. He says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you're going to get all of this right. But apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Let me run this passage backwards to you. So just so we're all on the same page. What does Jesus say? If you are my true disciples, when what? You can respond. We had to go over this in red verse 2. It's not a moment to be silent. You're true disciples when what? You produce much fruit. And how do you produce much fruit? You remain in him. You stay connected to the vine. Because I know that there are lots of people who pray their hearts out, but they're not seeking Jesus. They're just seeking the result. They're praying their heart out that God's going to move, but they don't actually want to see God move. They just want to see the result that they're praying about. And there is a difference. Do you want the miracle, or do you want the miracle worker? Because one will get the result and one won't. So which one do you actually want? And so I want to close with this. Okay, so what do we do? So you have the process now, right? You get into the Word. You take the ingredients. You share the ingredients. You don't just hoard them to yourself. You are willing to share the faith that you have. You don't jump to that step, okay? You ease into that step because we don't need a bunch of soapbox preachers all of a sudden, okay? You ease into the sharing part. And once you've shared, you pray and you pray. You pray about timing. You pray about when to share again. You pray about God will move. You pray about it all. And I want to suggest that I think all of us are at a different stage in this process. If you're new to church, you're probably somewhere in the first two, right? You're just getting into the Word. You're just learning what it is exactly that God says. Or you're developing the fruit. And the development of the fruit is a lifetime process, right? No one just wakes up and has perfect self-control. I will testify to that. That has been a lifelong journey for me. You don't just wake up one morning full of joy, right? It has to be developed. It has to grow. So some of you are in that process. Or some of you are at the point where you're in the Word saying, God, I need some direction. I need some insight on how to share with this person. Or you're just in the process of sharing. You're just loving on the person right now. Right? Whoever it is. And you know who it is. I believe you know who it is. And maybe that's where you are in the process. Maybe you just need to ask God, who is it I'm supposed to be discipling right now? And I want to be clear. We're not interested in just converts who say a prayer once and think they're good. No, 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 no. It's a lifelong process of mentoring and discipling and growth. I want disciples, not people who just prayed a prayer once. Because the people who prayed a prayer once are the ones who spring up fast and fade away quick. We want you to have roots. We need disciples. Maybe. And I would say maybe probably most of us are hung up on step 3. You know you're supposed to be sharing. God probably told you to share a long time ago, but you haven't made that leap yet because you're nervous. So pray about it. Pray for the boldness. Pray for the words. God said don't worry about having the right words in that moment when you need it. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. So you got to trust that God has given you everything for the process, and then you need to be obedient in the process. And this is where, and as a church, I want to show you how we fit into this whole make disciples process. Because we're talking about this dream team, right? Last week we talked about how for going, we want to do outreach and we want social media to be on point because that's how we go. How do we make disciples? Well, we need to be on point when it comes to hospitality and kids' church. We need more teachers who are willing to take a Sunday and invest in our kids because our kids are the disciples of today. They're not the disciples of tomorrow. They're not the leaders of tomorrow. They're today's disciples. And so we need to get the word to them in a way they understand. So we need kids' church. On top of that, It's really nice for parents to show up and not have to be chasing their kids all morning. It's hard to hear God speak when your kid is people's elbowing the other kid off the back of the pew. It's easier to listen when they're having fun learning on their level, right? We need kids' church. But we need our hospitality to be on point, because when we go and we share and we invite people to church, we don't want them to come back and have a bad experience. We want our guests to actually enjoy themselves. That's why we have good coffee. It's top priority. It's why we panic when the coffee runs out. It's why we have baking out there. It's why we have greeters who smile and shake hands and welcome. It's why we do everything in our power to make it feel like home, because we want you to come back. What's the point in having 50 new people show up if they have such a bad time they never want to walk through the doors again? Honestly, what's the point? So I need people who are like, I like making people feel at home. I like all of you're talking about, Matt. I need all of you. It takes all of us to step up in this way, to go outside of our comfort zone at times and make our guests feel at home. And so as we make disciples, this is what we need to be doing. And as a call individually for us to go and make disciples, it is a call for us as a church to make sure that when we get the opportunity, we are doing it to the best of our ability. And so, guess if you had a bad experience, let me know. We'll course correct. Honestly, let me know. Because we like you. We want you to come back. Go into the world and make disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we do not do this on our own. We don't need to figure it out. You've given us all the steps. You've given us everything we need to succeed. We just need to trust in you. We need to trust in your process. We need to be obedient. So God, create in us obedient hearts. Create in those of us that are afraid boldness to say what needs to be said, to share what needs to be shared, to see, create the opportunity for you to move in a way that only you can move. May we be a church that actively makes disciples to see your kingdom advanced through the whole region. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your sacrifice so we could be disciples. Help us to share that message with as many people as you lead us to. In your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.